Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace and mercy on our lives. Thank you for your strength, destroying our weaknesses. Thank you, Lord, for making all things work together for our good. Thank you for your light that is shining on our hearts and minds, liberating us from dark bondages. Thank you, Father. We thank you for your truth that is setting us free every day. Thank you for empowering us to do what is right in your sight. Thank you, Lord, for all the teachings we have been receiving in this ministry and through the Bible study classes. Thank you, Lord, for how you have used these teachings to change our lives for good. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for your presence in our lives. Thank you for the guidance and directions we get from the Holy Spirit every day. Thank you for giving light to the scriptures we study and meditate upon every day. Thank you because you have made us to understand your word better than before. You have made us to be enlightened through the understanding of your word. Thank you, Father. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. Lord, I am asking that as we would be having another class session right now, speak to us expressly by yourself, Lord Jesus. Let today's teaching do great work of transformation, healings, and deliverances in our souls and spirits and bodies. In Jesus' name. Have your way, O Lord, in this place. Thank you, Father, because we know you will do beyond our expectations. Let every heart and mind that will be listening be blessed and edified. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Yeah, I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. And don't forget that we are still under the topic that says, or the theme that says, building a strong discerning spirit. And I've been handling the introduction to this topic. So you can call it introduction to building a strong discerning spirit. Yeah. So we stopped at the point where I said the relationship between death and darkness. So now I'm moving to the next point, which is the relationship between life and light. The relationship between light and life, or between life and light. Yeah, and I'm going to read from John chapter 8 verse 12. The book of John chapter 8. John chapter 8 verse 12. I read, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Yeah. Remember that the point is the relationship between life and light. Yeah, don't forget that in John 14, verse 6, Jesus said something there also. In John 14, verse 6, he said, or I read, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me." Yeah. So, in this verse, Jesus called himself the life. Yeah. And then, in John chapter 8, verse 12, he called himself the light. Yeah. So, he said, he is the light of the world. And that those who follow him shall not walk in darkness, but they will have the light of life. So, which means that Jesus is both life and light. Jesus is both life and light. And there is a relationship between light and life. To have light is to have life. And to have life is to have light. Yeah, which we also can see in John chapter 1 verse 4. I'll still read it again. Yeah. So, the latter part of John chapter 8 verse 12 says that if you follow Jesus, you will have the light of life. So, what is the light of life? Or how is light connected to life? Yeah. The first thing I would say is that life, which we have read, means Jesus. I mean, Jesus is embodiment of life. Yeah. Life. Comprises or entails a lot of maybe I should put it this way, a lot of lifestyles or ways of life. So inside life, you will find ways of life or manifestations of life or appearances of life. So the life of Christ entails a lot of lifestyles, if I can put it that way, or entails many manifestations or appearances, which means that a close look at the life of Christ will give you different kinds of lifestyles. Like you will see different kind of lifestyle, like how that life is being lived. Yeah, and I believe that is what lifestyle means, how a life is being lived. So looking at the life of Christ, which is the personality of Christ, because he is life personified, you will see ways by which that life is being lived. So which, like I said, you will call it manifestations of that life, appearances of that life, and then we can also call it characters of that life, attitudes of that life, behaviors of that life, motives of that life. Yeah, you will see all of that inside the life of Christ. So apart from the fact that the life of Christ is eternal life, and apart from the fact that it gives life, because Jesus is a life giver, is a life giving life, is a life that gives life, or you can say he is a life giving spirit. He gives life to dead things and they come back to life. You know, just as we can see also where Jesus, we can see in another place in the scripture where Jesus referred to himself as the resurrection and life. Resurrection and life. When he was talking to Martha in John 11 verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Yeah, so apart from the fact that Jesus is eternal life, and that Jesus is a life giver, as we have read there, he said he's the resurrection and life, meaning that he's a life that gives, that resurrect things, that brings dead things back to life. Things that have died, good things that have died, Jesus is that life that brings them back to life. So apart from that, the life of Christ also consists of lifestyles, or a culture, yeah, which we say culture means way of life. So we can say in the life of Christ there is a culture, there is a lifestyle, there is attitude, or there are attitudes, behaviors, characters, motives in that life. Yeah, so which also implies that anyone whose culture, or any country, or any tribe, or any nature, whose culture does not agree with the culture that is in the life of Christ. Remember that I said that in the life of Christ, there is a way of life, which is also a culture. So any culture anywhere in the world that does not agree or align with the culture that is in the life of Christ, that culture is demonic, and that culture is of the darkness. Yeah. So, yeah. So we need to see this life as what can be lived. Yeah, we need to see the life of Christ as a life that can be lived. We can live it. Yeah. We can live it. Just as Jesus is that life and is living, you know. So we can live the same life. And as we live that life, we would become light, or we will have light. Any of the two. You can choose any of the two. It's the same. Yeah. In the kingdom of God, you do not only have something. In the kingdom of God, there is an ability to become what you have chosen. Yeah. So if you have, let's say you have chosen the truth, you can be so deep in walking in that truth to the point that you now become truth yourself. So that was how Jesus became life, or if I can say that is what Jesus meant by saying he is life, he is truth, he is the way. You know, they sound, I think they call it metaphors. It sound metaphorical. I'm not good in English, but I think that's what it means. When you are comparing two things together that don't have same features. Yeah, because when Jesus says he's life, you might want to touch it. Okay, you are life. Where is that life? Let's touch it, or let's, can we see it? Yeah, but he's trying to say that I have embraced life, or I have life that I have, to the point that I have become the life. So the same way you can have righteousness and then become righteousness. You can have faith and then become faith. Yeah, so in the kingdom of God, you can become what you have chosen. You can become the lifestyle you have chosen. But maybe that one is another teaching. Yeah, but my point is that this life that is in Christ, or that is Christ, can be lived by us, by humans. And Jesus already showed us the path to living his life. Yeah, and you and I know the path. You know, it's true repentance and then believing in what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, and then by believing, your sins will be forgiven, and then you receive power to become sons of God. So by repenting, by believing, by surrendering your life to Jesus, making him your Savior and your Lord, then you receive grace to live his life. Yeah, let me take it again. By repenting, the first thing is repentance. By repenting, and then by believing in Jesus, especially in all that he has done for you, in the sacrifice he did on the cross, and everything that happened thereafter, by believing in it, and then by surrendering to him as you surrender your life to him as your personal Lord and Savior. By doing that, you will now receive grace, according to John chapter 1 verse 12. you will now receive grace to live the life of Christ. Yeah. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, for as many as received him, he gave them power to become sons of God. Yeah. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Yeah. So you receive power to live this life, which can only be found in Jesus. So the life that we have been called to live can only be found in Jesus. And we have received power to live that life. So outside of Jesus helping you, or maybe I should say, without Jesus helping you, giving you power, giving you the right, giving you the authority, yeah, giving you the access to that life, you cannot by yourself live this life. Yeah, because it's impossible for humans to live the life of Christ. Yeah, but through faith, just as Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, through faith in Jesus' ability, you will be able to live this life of Christ. So let's look at Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. It's a common verse. Some of you, I believe, you can recite it offhand. Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Yeah, so he said, he has died with Christ. And the life he's living is not his life, but is the life of Christ he's living. That's the summary of that verse. So and then he showed us how he was able to live this life. He said, I live it by the faith of the Son of God. Yeah. So meaning that just as Jesus Christ on earth was not living for himself, when he was on earth, he was living the life of God when he was on earth. Yeah. Whatever he has learned from God, that is what he does. Whatever he see God does, that is what he do. His lifestyle was just the lifestyle of God. Yeah. So Paul was saying that I live by that same faith. Because when, at the point, some of the disciples were asking Jesus to show them God. He said, if you come from God, show us the Father. And Jesus looked at them, he said, so all this time, you think you have not seen the Father. He said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. He said, because me and the Father, we are one. So he indirectly was telling them that I am living the life of the Father here on earth. So everything I do, my way of life, the way I am compassionate, the way I am merciful, the way I am holy, pure, righteous, that's just the way the Father is. So stop looking for the Father. I have shown you the life of the Father. So the same way Paul was saying in Galatians 2 verse 20, that he's not living his life again. He's living the life of another person, and the life of that person is Jesus. He's living the life of Jesus in the flesh. And then he said, I'm doing it by faith, just as Jesus did his own too by faith, and he was able to live the life of God on earth. So he said, I'm living by faith. I'm living that life by faith, trusting in the ability of Jesus to make it possible. Trusting in his power to make it possible. So Paul is saying, I'm no longer living as Paul that you people know, or as Saul, because he was first called Saul. So he said, I'm not living that person again. I'm now living the life of another person. And I'm just, and that person is inside of me. So I just allow him to live. So he said Christ lives in him. So it's more or less like, let's say for instance, Jesus Christ is inside you. Not even for instance. That's the reality. If you're a child of God, Jesus is in you. Because in John chapter 15, Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. So Jesus is in you. If you have surrendered your life to Jesus, he's inside you. So now you just let him live. That was what Paul was saying in Galatians 2 verse 20, that I'm not trying to live my life anymore. I'm just doing it by faith. By faith, I see Jesus living inside every part of me. I see Jesus living in my body, in my bones, in my brain. I see Jesus living in my soul, in my spirit. So I just let him live. Yeah, I don't know the English I can use. Like, let's say, there were sometimes I use the word yield. I just yield to the spirit and let the spirit live. Or maybe I can also use the word, I just step out of the way. Yeah, maybe I can use the word step out of the way. Yeah, so Jesus is in you. So all you need is to step out of the way and let Jesus live. So when people see you, when they see your culture, they see your character, they see your attitude, they see your behavior, it will no longer be you that is manifesting. It will be Jesus that is living, that is manifesting. And in many of my teachings, I have shown you how you can live the life of Christ practically, which I always emphasize that you must die to self. You must crucify yourself. Just as Paul said, that was the first thing he said in that verse. He said, I am crucified with Christ. So meaning that he's saying, I have died. Just as Christ died on the cross, so I have also died on the cross. So the person that now lives is Jesus. Just as Jesus, resurrected from the grave after he died on the cross. So the person that now lives is Jesus. No longer me. Yeah, so the same way you have to die to yourself. You have to die to the passions, the sinful passions, sinful desires that flows through your mind, flows through your nerves, flows through your brain, flows through your mind. You have to die to those passions. You have to die to your own will. You have to die to your ambitions and say, Jesus, live. So it's very simple, but it appears difficult for this thing I'm saying is very simple. I mean, living the life of Christ practically every hour on daily basis is actually simple. But what is making it difficult is that people don't want to give up their life. Yeah, because they love their lives. They don't want to give up lust of the flesh. Pride. They don't want to give up pride. They don't want to give up their ego. Yeah, they don't want to give up their culture. They don't want to give up all kinds of lifestyles that is against the life of Christ. So people don't want to give up those things. That is why it looks hard. It is not actually hard if you are willing to give up everything that is you. everything about you, then Jesus will just live his life through you. Yeah, that ability is inside every Christian. The ability to live the life of Christ practically is inside every Christian. But you have a duty to perform. That is, you have to die to yourself. Don't follow your own will. Don't follow your desires. Don't follow your ambitions. Follow his own will. Follow his own desires. Follow his own plans for your life. His own agenda for your life. Which is always against what you want. Yeah. So if you can willingly do this, then you can practically live the life of Christ. And you can be like your ancestors, your Christian ancestors, who, when people saw them in Antioch, yeah, I believe I have ancestors. And I believe my ancestors is or were. Of course, ancestors, they are those that have died. I believe my ancestors were Christians that are godly people that lived for God. I don't believe my ancestors are my forefathers in all of those. I know that is according to the flesh. Yeah, but my original real ancestors are those who lived for God on earth and who are now in paradise or who made heaven or were translated to heaven. Yeah, so by living the life of Christ, you will be walking in the path of your ancestors in God. Yeah, you don't have to be connected to them by tribe or by blood. Your real ancestors were those who served God, not those who served idols. Yeah, your real ancestors in God are believers who served God, righteous men who served God, righteous men like Daniel, like Elijah, like Moses, and more like that. So those were your ancestors. So you need to be like them. For the Bible told us that in Antioch, when people saw the disciples, the followers of Christ, the Bible said that they were just seeing Jesus when they saw them. And that was when they began to call followers of Christ Christians. So the name Christians came out of living the life of Christ. So when the people in Antioch saw that these people, their lifestyle is just like Christ, they were living the same life that is in Christ. So they said, we have to call them Christians. So the Bible says it was in Antioch that people began to call the followers of Jesus Christ Christians. Yeah. So if it is not possible to live the life of Christ, then Jesus wouldn't have died. Yeah. But I've just shown you why it is difficult for many people to live this life. It is because a lot of people are not willing to give up their selves. They're not willing to lay down their lives on the altar and kill that nature of sin so that the nature of Christ can live through them. So people don't want to die to the passions, the carnal and dark and sinful passions in themselves, in their flesh. They don't want to die to those passions. That is why it's difficult to live the life of Christ. It will no longer be difficult after you have died to self. It will be so easy to live the life of Christ. So easy. Yeah. So easy. I wish I know other ways to explain this to you. But I believe it's very clear enough Yeah, and I know you know your own duty to do as a Christian, so that the life of Christ can live through you. So now, if you look at that, John chapter 8, verse 12, he mentioned about the light of life. Yeah, John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So to follow Jesus is to live his life. Yeah, or to allow his life live through you. Yeah, to give up on your own life so that his life can live through you. So that is to follow Jesus. Because in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, Jesus mentioned the same thing. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, I read, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, so which is also like saying, if anyone will follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow him. Some translations will say, let him forget himself. Yeah, there was a time I was sharing different translations about this verse, and some people were like, do you really mean this is what this verse mean? I said yes, because they have not seen anyone break it down to them what it means to deny yourself, which is the cost of discipleship, the cost of following Jesus. Yeah, because I was breaking it down in some translations said, let him forget himself. Some translations say, let him lose sight of himself, meaning that he, let him not see himself again. You know, let him not think about himself. So different ways of breaking it down. So the cost of following Jesus is to deny yourself 100%, that you don't even think about yourself. You don't even plan for yourself. You have no ambitions. You don't even look at yourself. Yeah. And then you now take up your cross, which is your calling, your purpose, which is, and we know that your purpose is to live for him. You now take up that cross and begin to follow him. Yeah. So, you can see that. So Jesus said, if you follow him correctly, you will have the light of life. Yeah, and that was where I started from. So the light of life actually means that you will live in such a way that your lifestyle will be producing light. And that will take us to John chapter 1, verse 4. The light of life means that your life will be producing light. Now, I know some of you might be in a haste, and you might be thinking, but the topic or the theme is building a strong discerning spirit. Are you not diverting from the central theme? I am not diverting from the theme. Yeah, because you can't discern correctly if you have not gotten it right at this level of living the life of Christ. Yeah, well, what are you discerning? The Bible told us that all things were created by Jesus and for Jesus. Yeah. The Bible said all things were created by Jesus and for Jesus. So what are you discerning if it's not being measured by, you know, if it is not Jesus discerning it? Yeah, I don't know if you are getting it. Yeah, let me read that place. Yeah, in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. The latter part of that verse said, all things were created by him and for him. Meaning that all things were created by Jesus and for Jesus. And verse 17 says, he's before all things, and by him all things consist. Yeah. So how can we talk about true discernment without talking about the life of Jesus? It's not possible. Because only Jesus can tell you what is true and what is not true, which is what this discernment is all about. Yeah, only Jesus can tell you or can show you what is true and what is not true, because everything must be tested against Jesus. I mean, tested with, let me use the word Jesus. Everything must be tested with Jesus or by Jesus. It's more or less like how I think in chemistry they told us how to test whether a liquid is acidic or alkaline. I'm not sure if I remember very well. There's this paper, they call it a litmus paper. Yeah, they said if you put a litmus paper inside acid solution, maybe it will turn blue or something, I don't know. Yeah, but if that litmus paper turned to a certain color, they said that solution is acidic. But if the litmus paper turns another color, then they said it is not acidic, it is alkaline. Yeah. Yeah, let's say Jesus is that litmus paper by which we can test everything, by which we can test every spirit, by which we can test any creature to know whether they are of the light or of the darkness. Yeah, so that is why if you are not rooted in the life of Christ, have a strong discerning spirit. If you don't live the life of Christ, it's not possible to be able to discern the spiritual realms accurately. It is not possible. You will fail and you will be deceived in the process and you will enter into errors. Yeah. So I just feel like to talk about this so that you can know that we are still inside that theme or that title, which is building a strong discerning spirit. Yeah, we are still inside. Why? Because Jesus is the source of all things. He created all things. And all things have one purpose. All things, they were created for Jesus, to serve Jesus, to please Jesus. Yeah, whether they agree or not, even Satan was created to serve Jesus, to please Jesus, whether he agrees or not. Yeah, so that is why, even though he does not agree with the light, he has to bow at the name of Jesus. Yeah, because he was created for Jesus. He was created to serve Jesus. So at the name of Jesus, he has to bow. Yeah, so that is it. So now let's come back to John chapter 1 verse 4. John chapter 1 verse 4. I want to explain more about the light of life that was said in John chapter 8 verse 2. Yeah, Jesus said, those that follow him will not walk in darkness, but they will have the light of life. So what is that light of life? So in John chapter 1 verse 4, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. I already mentioned that Jesus have life in him, and then he also became that life that he have in him. Yeah, that was why he said, I am life. So I said, the same thing can happen to you. You can have God in you so much that you become God. Though we can say, we can use small letter G for you, you know. We might not use capital, of course, we can't use capital letter G for you because you are not the Almighty God. But you can so much have God in you to the point that you become God. Yeah, you know, just as he had life in him, and then later he said, I am life, I am that life, I am the life. Yeah, so now I'm trying to explain what the light of life means. Yeah, so in this John chapter 1 verse 4, the writer was saying, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So having the light of life means that you are so full of the life of Christ, and then you are so conquered by that life to the point that you are living that life practically. And as you are living that life, light is oozing out of you. I don't know if that's the English to use. Or you can say life is being generated out of you. You are shedding light, or you are radiating light. You know, just like sun is a, you know that sun is a light creature. Yeah, and the Bible calls sun a great light that rules the day, and then moon, the light that rules the night. Yeah, so those people that studies those things in the space, and which we know as the sun, the moon, the stars. Yeah, you know, they told us our sun is so hot that nothing can near heat and survive. Yes, so the sun is so full of such heat, and not only that, the sun is so bright that it gives, you know, it gives light to the earth, and then we have day and night. Because not that at the point sun stops shining. No, we have night because the earth is rotating. Yeah. So when the earth shifts a bit away from the sun, that's when everywhere start getting dark. Yeah. That doesn't mean the sun stopped shining. No, the sun is always shining and always giving light. Yeah, always giving light. So the same thing applies to you as a Christian. You are meant to always give light. I mean, your life, your lifestyle, your living, your existence is meant to be shedding light, to be radiating light. Always. Now, there was a time I was listening to a teaching of a man of God. And I think I got an inspiration from that teaching, and I also wrote an article based on that. And he was talking about the real meaning of ministry, or what ministry entails, or how to do ministry. And all of you know what ministry. Ministry is just is a work you do for Christ, to both to serve God and then to serve God's people, or to be a channel to bless people, to be a channel of blessing to people. That is ministry. Yeah, but that man of God, now break it down using this scripture in John chapter 1 verse 4. And then he began to say that. He said ministry is first a life before it is an action or an assignment. The ministry is first about life before it is now maybe an action, an assignment you do. Maybe you preach, you teach. Yeah, he said ministry is first life. And then he was now quoting this place. He said that the life of Christ became the light of men. Yeah. And the light of men means that people began to see light as Jesus was living his life naturally, just as tree grows naturally. So as Jesus was living his life naturally, people began to see light. Yeah, and then he was saying that the life of Christ became a ministry. Yeah, yeah, because as Jesus was living his life, people in darkness began to see light, and they began to come out of darkness. Yeah, people who have been deceived began to know the truth, and they began to come out of their deception. Yeah, so he said the life of Christ became the first ministry, yeah, or became a ministry, yeah, before any other miracles or preaching or whatever, you know, or any other thing he does. So his life alone was giving out light. In so much that people were being blessed. So now your life as a Christian is meant to minister to people. Yeah, the way you live is meant to deliver people. So whether you are aware of it or you are not aware of it. So every second, every hour you live on earth adds light to the earth. Yeah, you know, we know it from the book of Isaiah chapter 16, that darkness has covered the earth, and gross darkness has covered the people on earth. Yeah, so, but every time you live the life of Christ on earth, you are shedding light naturally, whether you are aware or you are not aware. Light is being generated from you to push back the darkness that has filled the head. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. So as you live that life, which includes holiness, righteousness, fasting, prayers, growing in the knowledge of the Word of God, intercessions, the things that you do just alone on your own, without involving any other person, just you doing that alone is a ministry. Yeah. And neutralizes the darkness that has covered people, the darkness that has enslaved people. It defeats and destroys the darkness that has filled the head. So which implies that failure to live the life of Christ means that you are killing yourself and you are killing your generation. Yeah, this is not about whether you have a calling, whether you know you have a calling or you don't have a calling. This is not about that whether you are to be a pastor or you are to be a prophet. This is not about that. This is about the fact that you living the life of Christ affects your whole life and affects the head and affects the people in the head. Whether you know it, whether you can feel it, whether you are conscious of it or you are aware of it or not, you just living your life naturally is the greatest ministry. I mean, not, of course, my prayer is that your life become the life of Christ. But my point is that you living the life of Christ naturally, meaning that you give up your life to let the life of Christ live in you and through you, is the greatest ministry you can do. Yeah. The greatest ministry you can do for good in the head. Yeah. So after I listened to that man of God, that the teaching of that man of God, and I began to get more understanding of how it will be too difficult to succeed in ministry by neglecting the life of Christ, by not living the life of Christ. In fact, you will go nowhere in ministry and you will save no soul and you will fail woefully. Yeah, and of course, you will not make heaven. Yeah. There was a story of a man of God in Nigeria. He has died. Now, we were told that, you know, this man was going to enter a new location, or he was visiting a new location or a new town to preach, because he was an evangelistic prophet or an apostle. He goes about preaching. So we're told that as he was on the way, maybe some kilometers far, he was on the way to that town or to that city, that there was one god, one idol, but in Nigeria we have some very powerful idol. Sometimes I don't like to use the word powerful for them, but they are powerful in their own way. Yeah, we have some very powerful gods, small letter G. So there was a man that was the priest of that god, you know, and that god is a god that can speak. Now, of course, it's not the image, it's a demon, it's a fallen angel that is speaking to that person. Yeah, but the fallen angel or the demon will be speaking through the image. Yeah, through the image or what they call it, the statue, or you know how people carve idols. Yeah, so that demon was talking to that priest, and the demon was saying, you have to carry me from this shrine and take me far away into the bush. So the man was saying, why would I, you have never left this shrine. That God said, if you don't take me there, I will deal with you. I will, strike you with death and affliction. And the priest was like, why do you want to run from this shrine? He said, he mentioned the name of that man of God. He said, this man of God is coming that I can already sense, I can already feel his light. That he's coming into this town, and he can't be in this town and I will be here. So that demon was saying, I have to leave before he enters the land. So he made that man carry him to some very far place in the bush. Now, what I'm trying to say is that this is not that the man of God was praying. It's not that he was praying, and I'm not sure, he probably is not even aware that there's one God somewhere. Of course, he would have prayed, preparing for that crusade. Yeah, but just his presence alone was pushing, was so strong, or radiates a level of light that was pushing back demons, pushing back gods that have been ruling over a territory. So he was just about to enter, and they're already afraid, they're already scared, and they're already running away. Even without saying any words, just his life his life could produce that level of light. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Yeah, so you must live the life of Christ, which is the life in the spirit, to the point that you just being present in a place, we light up that place spiritually. Yeah. Just as the presence of the sun in the space, and as a matter of fact, the sun is so far from the earth by millions of kilometers, and yet the sun is able to light up the whole earth. So even in the same way, your presence as a Christian in any place should be able to light up the spiritual environment of that place. To the point that certain things that demons do, that demonic captives do, people that have been captured by demons, people that have been possessed by demons, certain things they do, they will not be able to do it because you are present there. Because your light will be so strong that demons will not be able to operate. Certain events that devil wants to happen in that place will not be able to happen because you are there. Not only that, because at that time you are praying, but even when you are not praying, just your existence, or maybe I don't know how to call it, your presence. I think presence is the word. Just because you are present there, and you are living there, automatically lights up the whole environment. That is how strong your light can be as a Christian. And that is the light of life. So the light of life is a light that is being generated as that life is being lived. As the life of Christ is being lived by you, there's a light that is being generated. And that light lights up anything and anywhere. It lights up every realm. So there's some revelations I will see myself in the realm, and that place will be so full of darkness. But I will be covered with light. So if I want to see anything in that realm, the light that is with me would light up that place, and I will be able to see it clear. It's not as if the realm I am in that revelation It's not as if that realm is full of light. But as long as I am there, everything in that realm will be exposed to me. And I'll be able to see and to know. Yeah, so you cannot have a strong discerning spirit if you don't live the life of Christ. Yeah, because you will be able to know what is going on in your spiritual environment. What is going on in the realms of darkness, interacting with your life, interacting with your country, with your marriage, with your career, because there can be billions of realms of darkness interacting with your life, interacting with your calling, with your ministry, with your marriage, with your career, with your business, with your destiny. Yeah, but when you are full of this life of Christ, or when you live this life of Christ, you will produce a light that will begin to expose what is happening in these realms. Expose everything going on against you in those realms. And not only that, it will help you to overcome them. Yeah, it will make you lord and rule over them. You will even rule over witches and wizards. You will rule over the witchcraft attacks, oppressions. Yeah, you will rule over everything going on in any realm. Why? Because your life produces a great light that darkness cannot overcome. Yeah, I hope you understand it now. Yeah, so that is what it means when the Bible says you will have the light of life. It means your life, your daily living, will keep producing light. So when you pray, the kingdom of darkness, they will be scared. When you speak, they will be scared. Yeah, because light keep coming out of you. Everything you do keep producing light. And it keeps blessing people. It keeps setting people free, whether you know or you don't know. Like I used to tell people that this ministry, our ministry that you see today, is a product of life. So it's not as if God told me to start doing something online to help people. No, I just feel like, let me start sharing with the world what I have learned from the Lord and all that God has taken me through that has changed my life. So let me start sharing with the world. Yeah, and that life, so that is why almost 100% of the things I teach, they are what I have experienced. Yeah, they are what has happened to me. Yeah, so my life, which is the life of Christ, became a blessing to the world. So it became light. So that is the foundation of ministry, that you live the life of Christ. So every other thing in ministry is built on that. So if you failed, if you have failed at the level of living the life of Christ, you cannot succeed in any other aspect of ministry or carrying out God's assignment, because it will not work. It will fail. Even if it looks like it's working, it will fail eventually. Yeah, so let me just read this scripture, then we stop here for today. Let me read John chapter 17, verse 19. Okay, John 17, 19. Yeah, this is Jesus speaking. He said, "And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Yeah, what does that mean? Yeah, I remember I've said it before, that the level of victory a preacher or a teacher of the word have attained is equal to the level of victory he can bring the people into, the people he's ministering to. Yeah, it is equal or is proportional to the level of victory he can bring the people into. And I also said that the level of depth a preacher or a teacher or a minister is in God is also the level of depth he can bring the people he's ministering to into. Yeah, so Jesus said in that place, he said, I sanctify myself so that these people that I teach the truth, these my disciples, can also be sanctified through the truth that I say to them, through the truth that I preach to them. Yeah, so which implies that ministry is beyond eloquence of speech. Ministry is beyond that you know how to speak. You know how to talk. You know how to advertise. Or you know how to dramatize. Yeah, ministry is beyond that. So there's a sanctification that must be going on inside of you. Yeah. There's a sanctification. And sanctification means that you are being set apart. It's the same thing with purity, and I've already explained what purity is. Sanctification is equal to purity. It means you are being set apart from everything that is unclean, everything that is corrupt, everything that is not in line with the will of God. So that's sanctification. Yeah, it means the root of sin, the root of the flesh is dead in you. Yeah, so Jesus said he sanctifies himself, he purifies himself always. So which at this point has to do with the heart of Jesus. So Jesus is saying that he makes sure that his heart is pure always, so that the truth that will come out of him will also sanctify, we make people pure. So, which means that if you as a minister, you are not pure in your heart, your message cannot make people pure. No matter how powerful it sounds, your message cannot bring people out of darkness. Your message cannot liberate people. No matter how powerful the message sounds, it will not liberate people. It will not make people victorious. Yeah, in fact, most likely people will not believe it. People will not follow it. People will not, you know, it won't sit in their heart. It won't be strong on their souls. Yeah, to deliver their souls. So that is how serious ministry is. But some people some people have been deceived, or some ministers have been deceived to think that they can live a double life and still make a positive impact on their generation. I mean, they can live a hypocritical life and still be able to win souls into God's kingdom. Yeah, some ministers have been deceived to think that they can live a deceptive life and still be able to succeed in ministry. It's not possible. Yeah, it is not possible. You can't be living a life that is void of of truth or a life that is contrary to the truth, and expect that you will preach the truth and that truth will work in people's lives. Yeah, or you will make declarations and it will work in people's lives. It will not work. Yeah, it will not work. So the ministry of Jesus was able to change lives, sanctify lives, and deliver lives because Jesus sanctified himself. In that John 17 verse 19, Jesus was always sanctifying himself. He was always purifying his heart. That was why his ministry remained powerful even to today. Yeah. So the same thing applies to anyone who is a minister. You cannot say, oh, people are not seeing my private life. Yeah, so they don't know how I live. So let me just show myself publicly as a holiness preacher. Yeah, so people publicly, they can show you that they are holiness preacher. They preach holiness, they practice holiness, they preach righteousness, but privately they are living a life that is contrary to what they are preaching and teaching. And then they want to see the glory of God manifest in their ministry. No, it cannot happen. Yeah, it can't happen. You might be very eloquent in talking, in speaking. The produce in the is the life you live. Yeah, not just the words. Yeah, so that is it. I'm going to round up with this. There was a revivalist some years back. They call him Charles Finney, if I'm not mistaken. He was a revivalist. Yeah. Some years back. And we're told that this man just entered into maybe it was a shopping mall or a marketplace. He just entered there. And he was not even saying anything. He was not talking. Maybe he entered there to preach, but he just entered there. He was not even talking, he was not saying anything, he was just there. And people started crying and started confessing their sins and started begging Jesus to save them. He just, his presence in that place made people to see Jesus. So it was not him they were seeing again. It was Jesus they began to see. Just his presence in a shopping mall or in a marketplace made people to start repenting. And they start confessing their sins. And they start asking, hey, what can we do to be saved? Just as those people were asking Paul and Silas in the prison, that man, the commander, the soldier that was guarding the prison where they placed Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16. Yeah, just as when they saw the earthquake, just as that man, was begging and was asking, what can I do to be saved? So those people were crying and they were repenting and they were like, what can we do to be saved? And that man did not open his mouth. He was just standing there and they saw the light. Yeah. So that is the kind of ministry that the kingdom of God is looking for. Not that you are just speaking on the radio everywhere, they are hearing your voice. On the internet, they are hearing your voice. On the television, they are hearing your voice. And then the people's lives are not changed. People are still addicted to sin. Yeah, even the members of your church, they are still fornicating with each other. And then your community, there's no revival, nothing is changed, even though there's miracles in code, physical miracles, but people are not drawing closer to God. Yeah, and then you are moving everywhere, shouting, preaching, but the lives of people are not being changed. That is not ministry. Yeah, and the reason is because the life these ministers are living, I mean, the ministers in these last days, is different from what they are showing publicly that they are. Yeah, they are not living the life of Christ. That is why their ministry is not strong enough to change the life of people. I mean, the lives of the people. To show you that ministry is beyond words, is beyond what you do physically. Yeah, it's beyond words. It's beyond the glamour, the musical instrument everybody sing and dance. It's beyond the beauty of the building. Ministry is beyond that. Yeah, that is the fact. So I'm going to stop here. Yeah, I'm going to stop here. We are going to, if you have questions, you can ask on our WhatsApp platform. Yeah, let us pray. Father, we thank you because you are so faithful. Thank you for showing us that we can live your life. We can live practically the life of Christ here on earth. And thank you for showing us that living this life is how we can fill the whole world with light, and how we can put away darkness from the earth. Thank you for showing us this. Father, we ask that in every area we need to repent so that we can live the life of Christ, and so that the glory of God may fill the earth visibly and victoriously. Lord, help us to repent in Jesus' name. And the grace to reject every other life and lifestyles and character and attitude and cultures that is contrary to the life and culture that is in Christ Jesus. Father, give us that grace in Jesus' name. I pray for you that you will be strong at this time in Jesus' name. In any area you have been weakened by darkness, and it appears as if it is too difficult to live for Christ, to live the life of Christ, I pray that the fire of the Holy Ghost shall enter into your spirit, soul, and body, and you shall be strong to manifest and to live the life of Christ in Jesus' name. And thank you, Father, because we know you have answered. In whatsoever way you have been deceived and you have given yourself another righteousness that is not the righteousness of Christ, I pray that the hand of God deliver you from such deception. In the name of Jesus, the truth that you have known today and the truth you have always known shall set you free completely in the name of Jesus. You shall surrender to the truth and you shall be saved by that truth, by the truth in God's kingdom in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, because we know you have answered in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Amen.
Goodbye.